Good morning. Is everybody blessed and highly favored this morning? You know, no matter what is going on in our life, we are blessed and highly favored. Yes? I want to read to you out of Psalms 103. This is, I think, this is for us as we gather to worship. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise His holy name. And so, what King David is in this prayer, he's saying that our praises should be beyond just our words and just our songs, but something worship down here, something inside of us, our inmost being. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit. Anybody relating yet? And crowns us with love and compassion and satisfies our desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't you love that? Cheryl and I, when we were in Alaska 2 weeks ago, I guess now, or 2 weeks ago, week and a half, whatever, we got to see some bald eagles, a couple of them flying in the wild, and we got to see one in this area where they had taken in this injured eagle, and man, so it had lost a wing due to a hunter had shot this eagle, and they had taken it in, and they had it in this sanctuary, taking care of it, but it was sitting on that perch so majestic, and even though it had been wounded, thank you.
That's how majestic,
it was that majestic, right there. But it was sitting on that perch, and even though it was wounded, he was still a bald eagle, man. And he was proud, and it was sitting up and standing up so straight. That's God's heart for us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, You are so good to us. You are the King of Kings, and there is nothing too difficult for You. May this be a holy place today. May You send Your Holy Spirit. May it be a safe place. May it be a healing place for whatever's going on in our lives, God, and maybe things are going great. But Father, whatever state we came in here, change us, heal us, bless us, that we might be a blessing to others, that we might go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So come and lift up our praises. We lift up our praises to You. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And also want to welcome our live stream audience. Let's stand if you are able as we worship.
Cry out, we join the night we see. Glory to God.
good to see you this morning, church. I'm so, so thankful to be a part of this amazing church. In the first service, I was playing in that first song, and I'm going to tell you the truth, I just like totally messed up my strum pattern in that chorus. And I got off, and I actually kind of started laughing at myself a little bit. But that got me to think something so important, that there's nobody here that's perfect except the Spirit of God in this place. And so in order to belong here, you don't have to be a perfect person. So no perfect people are allowed in the church. Instead, we come to Christ because our need for a Savior. So this morning, as you worship, I want you to be honest with God and say, God, I need you. And I want you to help me. I want you to help me in my life. I want you to help me this morning as I worship. And I encourage us, if you had a less than perfect week, then you're human like everybody else here. But when you come in here, don't allow that to affect your worship this morning. You have a moment, you have an opportunity to give your very best in this moment to God. So encourage us as we continue our worship this morning. Let's give the very best of our energy, the very best of our focus, the deepest love of our heart to tell our Lord and Savior how thankful we are for Him and how much we love Him. Because there's nothing better than Jesus. I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Lands in deep praise, treasures of faith are never enough. You came along, you put me back. better than our stuff, better than our money. Let's sing it out.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Amen, amen. Let's give our Lord Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated. Children, hold where you are just real quick.
Good morning again. Man, it's good to be with you guys. Bob and Laura, come on up. Bob and Laura Hall come this morning again to join our church. They were, if you don't know Bob and Laura, they were members of our church several years ago, and then Laura and Bob left. Laura was leading worship. Name of the church? Elm Creek Baptist Church. And did you lead some of those Baptists to the Lord? Oh, Billy, getting Billy upset over here. But they have come back to be part of our church again. And man, we're excited about that. They're in our community group. We love having them. We love having you guys here. Y'all have already accepted Christ and been baptized in that faith, and we receive that. And just ask you again, is Jesus Christ still the Lord of your life? Amen. Will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. God bless you guys. We love y'all. I'm going to let y'all sit down. Y'all make sure you greet Bob and Laura before they get out of here today. Children, come on up.
Coming through. Watch out. Thank you. Hey, guys. Let me come through. Did y'all find them? Pages behind you. Y'all just stand right there. Y'all just stand right there, okay? Stand around against the prayer rail. There you go. Perfect. Hey, guys. How's everybody this morning? Everybody excited about this coming week? What's going on this week? School. Are y'all excited? Are parents excited? Woo! I know, we're ready for school to get back. I know, I can't believe it's already August 14th and school's starting this week. Some of you are going to go to elementary school, some of you are going to preschool, some are going to go to a new daycare, where, or Mother's Day out, wherever you're going to school, you're going to be starting something probably in the next week for sure, okay?
What page
am I on? I'm on page 256, all right? So today I brought my backpack with me. Does everybody have a backpack at your house?
Yeah.
Kind of getting ready for school?
Yeah, I got a new one.
Did you get a new one? Yeah, so I've put some, do what?
I got a new one.
Did you? All right, well, did you? Well, I brought some stuff with me in my back. Did you? Okay, so I brought my stuff. Let me see what I've got in here. So I've got some glue. I'm going to get ready for school. You think I need some glue? How about some pencils? Yes. How about scissors? Does everybody need scissors? How about some crayons? Yes. All right. Let's see what else we need. Let's see what else I've got in here. Oh, how about a spiral notebook with some paper in it to write? Do all your lessons. Oh, it looks like somebody's already done some lessons in my book. Do what? Yeah. I'll tell you, Billy wrote that in there. And then I've got some folders. Everybody's got some folders you'll need to put your homework in and all that stuff, right? And then, of course, I've got markers. All right. So we need lots of supplies so that we can go to school and we can learn, right? Is it important that we learn? Yes. Okay. So it's important that we do math and science and reading and history and, of course, PE and recess and lunch, right? And music, all right, and maybe art, all the, and Spanish, all right, way to go, all right, so I've got all my stuff ready to head back to school. Is there anything I'm missing? What? A Bible. Do you know that you can put a Bible in your backpack? Ooh, did you? Yeah, you'll get your books at school, okay? But do we need Jesus? Yes. Okay, can you sit down, Grayson? You can put pizza in there too? All right. You're right. So, is Jesus with us all the time? Is he with you when you go to school? Yes. Do we always remember that Jesus is with us? All the time? Or do we ever forget? You never forget? Well, I think we sometimes do forget. So, we're going to give you a cross today to hang on your backpack. Like I've got one here. It's a little acrylic clock, a little acrylic oval with a cross in the middle of it. And I want you to hang it on your backpack. Yes, Ryland? We get one every year. That's right. Do you keep it on your backpack all year? Yeah. So guess what? You got, okay. Well, that's all right. Well, so this year you're going to get another one because every year we need to be reminded because sometimes we just, you don't have one. Well, you're going to get one today. Okay.
And I got a rocket one.
You got a rocket one? All right. So you're going to get this cross. You're going to get a cross to go on your backpack. And what this cross is going to do, it's just a reminder. You can look at that, maybe pick up your backpack and go, oh, I need to talk to God. I need to talk. I need to ask him. I'm afraid, or I've got a test coming up, or I am so happy I got the teacher I wanted. I just want to praise him and thank him. So maybe this will help you remember that God is with you all day long, no matter where you are, at school and at home, at the grocery store. Sleeping, God is with you. So let's not forget about Jesus, okay? When we go to school, because yes, we're going to go to school and learn, but who helps us learn? That's right. So we want to take Jesus and God with us as we go back to school. And it says, the scripture verse that I found, it says in Joshua 1:9, it says, remember that I command you to be strong and brave. Can you be strong and brave? Yes. So don't be afraid. God's saying, don't be afraid of the new things that you've got to look forward to. And it says, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He is with you and 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 you. He's with us all wherever we go. So when you're at school, when you start the school this year, know that God is with you. He's going to be with you tomorrow. He's going to be with you next week. He's going to be with you all the way through. So can we remember that? All right, so today what we're going to do is we're going to pray over everyone, okay? So I'm going to have a congregation, we're going to send y'all some, y'all going to, everybody that's going back to school is going to come join us. So all the kids that are out front, if y'all will stand up, all of y'all stand up. Stand up. Okay. All right. Kind of scoot in a little bit. Kind of scoot in a little bit right there. Okay, now anybody else that's going back to school this week, whether you're going to middle school, high school, college, back to school, whatever, come join us up here, okay? Then after everybody else gets up here, if teachers, support staff, anybody that's going back to school this week, come join us, okay? Hey, Holly. Okay, so come join us. Come circle up. Come circle up. All right. Very good. Okay, teachers, anybody else going back? Teachers, come on and join us. Come on. All right. Okay. So, Jeff, are you up there? Yes. Okay. Pastor Jeff's going to pray for us. And so as we get through praying, these three, Lydiana, Noah, and Paige right here have crosses for everyone. And then we have Brent down there and Teresa and Linda have crosses. So pick a cross up from everyone. Pick a cross up from someone as you go back to your chair, okay? Pastor Jeff.
Yeah, kids, I want to tell you, I had a bad memory as Miss Carlene was bringing out the stuff. Did you know when I was a kid, I never got the big 120-pack of crayons? Did you know that? I got the, like, 10-pack. Mom, shame on you over there. And so if I ever needed to color something like magenta or something, I was just out of luck. Y'all feel sorry for me? No, I didn't think so. All right, we want to pray for you guys, so if you'll just pray with me. Lord, as these students, these children, these teachers, coaches, support staff, as they stand before us, God, they stand before you. We present them to you for your blessing. God, may you go before them to their school and to their campuses. May you bring friends for them. May they be friends. We pray, God, for protection, spiritual protection, physical protection. Lord, I pray blessing that this would be just an incredibly good year for all of these students and all of these teachers and staff. God, we ask for protection. Lord, we just ask that you would go before them into each campus, that you would just, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be there, that Jesus would be there. And we trust you, God. I pray for the parents. God, there may be some that this is their first time to send a child to school. I pray that your peace would fall on them. I pray against the spirit of fear. Lord, that your peace and your comfort and your assurance would fall on these students, on these parents, on these teachers. God, we trust you and we love you because we know you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see you. Once again, for those of you worshiping with us online, God bless you. I want to ask you, if you don't mind, to register your attendance with us this morning. A couple of things coming up. We have been praying about discerning whether we need to be involved with Houses for Healing in regard to building another structure. And we feel like the Lord wants us to do that. So they've got the slab formed up. And typically what the ministry does is they dedicate that slab prior to the concrete being poured. We'll take a Bible and put that underneath the foundation. Brian Massey, the ministry head, has a strong connection to Israel. He's going to bring a stone from Israel to put under that slab. And so we're doing that at 5:30 p.m. this Wednesday night, 3000 block of Hickory Street. Please come and join us at 5:30 for that. Our Wednesday night ministry start back not this Wednesday night, but the 24th. We have an all-church meeting on the 11th where we'll talk more about the disaffiliation process. And also on the 27th, we'll have our charge conference where we vote on that. Women, there's an Aspire event. We had one last year in Abilene at Trinity Baptist. There's one again this year on the 25th of September. There'll be more info coming on that. And then both men and women were having separate encounter nights, probably in October and November, where we'd just come and spend time doing business with the Lord. So you can join us for that. Let's go ahead. If you're able, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, and the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This morning during our prayer time, I want to focus on as the kids go back to school and personnel go back to work. I just want to pray for safety this school year. I don't want to alarm anybody, but I had a conversation 3 or 4 weeks back with Tony Lassiter. He is head of security for AISD and used to be a police officer. He's retired. And he told me that last year, school year 21-22, there were 20 credible threats in our community with people just making statements to other students wanting to do harm or maybe something posted on social media. So I think we need to pray for safety, for wisdom. Also, I was visiting with a police officer yesterday, Cody Dykes, that he works at the Woodson School, and it's a place where kids are having a hard time adjusting, make some bad choices. They end up at Woodson for a season, and he told me usually at the beginning of the school year, there's 4 to 5 students that are basically carryovers from the last school year, and he said come this Wednesday, they're going to have 60 students. And these are young kids that have made some bad choices over the summer. And, man, I just want to pray against the devil's activity. You know, he is a coward. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't care if we're 5 years old or 95 years old. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. So I want that to be our prayer focus today. Ask God for protection. Ask for these students to realize the potential they have because Jesus is on the cross for them. And so as I pray, if you want to join me in the altar, you're free to do that. So Lord God, we love you. God, I thank you for all of these young people, those who are connected with the school through employment. Father, I just get so angry at the enemy. And Lord, I know we make poor choices, but he's right there just prodding us on, prodding our culture on. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And Lord, I pray against his activity this school season, this school year. God, I pray that his efforts are thwarted. God, I don't know what you do in the spiritual realm. I know that there's angelic activity. We read in the Bible where there's battles going on in the spiritual realm. God, I pray for strong angels to be stationed around these campuses, God. And Lord, I pray against the spirit of fear. I pray against the spirit of anxiety that would creep into the schools. I pray against that for students. I pray against that for personnel as well. And God, I pray that this is an incredible year for these students, incredible year for the employees. God, I pray for those kids, those young men, those young women that are really making poor life choices. God, I just pray for wisdom for them. I thank you for Cody Dykes and the work that they do at Woodson School. I pray that they're able to minister peace and justice at the same time. And Lord, I just pray that every student that comes through that campus, God, I pray that they're successful and they finish strong. But Lord, we can do a lot of things security wise. God, we can lock doors and we can have armed people there to protect. But at the end of the day, we need you. We need your intervention, God. So prove yourself to be mighty this school year, not just in our community, but communities outside of Abilene, Lord, across the state and across the nation. Revive us, O God, for your glory. And bless our schools. And we thank you for opportunities to pray this way, pray with boldness, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray, our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I wanted to remind you of our giving options. We have offering boxes by the doors. Also, you can give electronically in church. Jeff's going to preach about this, about giving today. You're excited about that, right? Very excited about that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness.
My trophies at last I lay down.
cross, stained with blood, so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross that Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old broken cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will
well, good morning again. Also, welcome again to our live stream audience. Hope you feel the love of Christ in your home. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, in His Holy Spirit. If you are our guest this morning, we are very glad that you are here. Hope you feel that love from Christ Himself and also from His people. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I will be out at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you, have a free gift for you. So hope you will come, and I'll get a chance to meet you and greet you. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're at. Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 19, these are the words of Christ. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. We invite you. We have invited you. We invite you, Lord, to come. Speak to our hearts, God, even if it's hard, Lord. Speak to our hearts and transform us and mold us into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the things that you may or may not know, after so many years with currency, our paper currency, they retire bills, and if they're getting kind of worn, they retire those and replace them with new bills. That's done through the Federal Reserve. And so there was a $1 bill and a $20 bill going through the Federal Reserve conveyor belt to be retired. And the $20 bill started boasting a little bit and said, I have been everywhere. You wouldn't believe the places I've been. I have eaten in the finest restaurants. I have gone to the greatest Broadway plays. I have been everywhere, buddy. And the $1 bill, looking a little bit sad, and the $20 bill said, where have you been? And the $1 bill said, well, I've been to the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church and the Lutheran Church. I need a drum roll. Beginning or continuing the sermon series, Jesus, Lord of all, today, Lord of my stuff. As was pointed out earlier, this is my favorite topic to preach on. Yes? No. I'm a work in progress on this, because Jesus talked about money all the time, and we'll get into why that is. But in fact, 2,350, if you count them up, 2,350 times the Bible deals with money. That's how many verses in the Bible dealing with money. If we're honest, church, even if we're faithful in our finances, if we're honest, we like our stuff. Don't we? We like our stuff. We like shiny stuff. We like bigger stuff. We like newer stuff. We like stuff that outdoes our neighbor stuff. I mean, we like our stuff. I don't think there's any of us exempt from that. Jesus is saying in this passage today, these are Jesus' words, not mine. He says, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, he says there's a clear winner between the Savior and stuff battle in your life. Savior and stuff. I mean, there's a clear winner. And this is not to shame anyone. This is just, I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. If we open up our checkbook, for some of the younger, if you're sitting beside a younger person, help them understand what that is. Checkbook. We used to use checks. Anyway. Or our credit card statement. I mean, look at where things are going out, and we kind of can sort of begin to see maybe that's where our heart's attached to some of that stuff. God is saying that his call for stewardship in our lives, and we'll talk more about what that means, his call for stewardship in our lives smokes out the true winner in the Savior versus stuff battle in our life. And I should have said this even before I started, but I want to say this. Our church, we are doing just fine financially. We're good. This is not about, hey, we need your money, you need to step up, because we're struggling here. It's not that kind of a message. And I also want to say, so many of you are so faithful financially and in other ways as well. But during the COVID time, when COVID hit and I was meeting once a week, I was meeting through Zoom with other pastors, and we were just talking about, you know, how are you navigating this? What are your struggles and all that? And the thing I kept hearing was, man, we're struggling financially. And I just want to brag on y'all for just a second before I, hopefully the Lord will convict you in a minute. Yeah, it's kind of the old good news and bad news kind of thing, you know. But seriously, I always said, man, our givings have gone up. Our givings have gone up. And that's due to the faithfulness of you. And I'm blessed. It staggers me and it blesses me all at the same time. So, but nonetheless, and we'll understand more as I go through this message, I think what the Lord would have us hear today. And so this is not a scolding message at all. But God's call for stewardship smokes out this the winner of the Savior and the stuff battle. And so this question as I go through this message today, I want you to keep this question in mind. And here's the question. Who wins in the Savior versus stuff battle in your life? Who wins? Okay. So I want to hit real quickly kind of wrong reasons to give, wrong reasons to give to the church or be faithful financially. First is, please don't give out of duty or obligation. I mean, that is not the right motive. It's not the motive God is looking for, and it's certainly not the motive I'm looking for. Out of duty or obligation, please don't give out of guilt or peer pressure. Back a few years ago, before COVID, we used to have an offering where we pass the plates, and I've had people ask me why we don't do that anymore, and we've just gone to the offering boxes. But back when we were passing the plate and we started offering online giving, and I forget who it was, you're probably here, you can tell me, remind me if it was you, but somebody came to me and said, man, I really don't want to give online because when that offering plate passes by and I just pass it, I'm embarrassed. I feel like people are going, well, they didn't give anything. And here's what I told them. Well, just take the offering envelope and say, I give online, and put that in. So don't give out of duty or obligation or feeling of guilt or peer pressure. That's not what God's looking for, and certainly not what I'm looking for. So I'm going to hit, before we get to the items on the handout today, I want to hit real quickly. There's a practical things when we talk about stewardship. There's practical things that I want to just hit very quickly, and then I want to get into more of the spiritual reasons we would give. Practical reasons. This is where it's hard for me to talk about this, but here's the deal. Fruitful ministry costs money. It just does. I mean, when we are going to be a blessing, you know, you think we pass out turkeys every year? I'll get to that in a second. We pass out turkeys. You think they give us those turkeys? I promise you, United, Market Street, or any of them, they don't go, here's 350 turkeys. They cost money. And you guys provide that. Fruitful ministry costs money. So in the 20 years or so, some of these have been less than that, but in the time I've been here, I'm just going to hit some highlights, some things that you guys have done through your financial faithfulness and God's faithfulness. We've built 4 new homes for the poor and the homeless. Man, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. God has blessed people. We built 4 new homes. We've remodeled numerous homes. We built the houses for Healing House. One of those, and as Billy mentioned in his prayer time, we're getting ready to build a second one of those. That costs money. All that stuff costs money. We've provided vehicles for numerous families in need. We did about 2 years ago. By the way, I said I wasn't in my mind, and I think the Lord's convicting me. The gentleman that you provided a car for 2 years ago, he's been keeping in constant contact with me and thanking me. He said, man, you guys gave me a second chance in life. And he's been keeping in contact with me. Just this past week, he contacted me because we've been talking, and he was in a 4-vehicle wreck, and it totaled that car that we gave him. And he wasn't like, hey, buy me another car, but we just talk. And I was going over like, you have insurance? Yeah, we've got liability, but And I said, well, was it the other, well, they think it was the other person's fault. There was like a, they were in the middle of a four-car bumper-to-bumper kind of thing. And the insurance companies are fussing over who's going to pay for things. So, and he's worried about losing his job. I mean, but we provided a car for him. We provided new furniture, a home for him, all sorts of things. We have four overseas missionaries, and we've contributed, and these are round, rough, kind of rough numbers, around $72,000 to our missionaries. The Carver neighborhood and the St. John's Baptist Church, which we have blessed for about the last 15 years to the tune of $117,000. This is a church that they're a small church, very elderly church. They just didn't have financial resources, and we have been supporting them financially for about 15 years. Love and Care Ministries to the tune of about $65,000. Methodist Food Pantry, $75,000. We have a care fund that we budget $30,000 in this care fund for people that just, hey, they're going to turn off my electricity. My husband lost his job, or my husband has cancer, or we've been sick, or this or that. And we try to be very good, faithful stewards of this, because we get a lot of people gaming the system. So we try to discern those situations. But in the past 20 years, we've given approximately $500,000 in our care fund. Is this on? $500,000 to our care fund. That's you guys. Your faithfulness allows us to do that. People, we've got people in the sanctuary this morning that we have helped, been able to help in those sort of ways. We that care fund, house payments, utilities, food, doctors, counseling, all sorts of things that we can be able to do that. And we have approximately 15%. Or more. It was actually, the last time we calculated, it was 19%, but I'm being conservative. 15% or more goes out into our community and benevolent giving. Okay, those are practical reasons why God wants to be Lord of our stuff, because He wants to bless others through us. Okay, so spiritual reasons to give, and this is where your handout will kind of take up right here. The first one that comes to my mind before we even get into to my points is this: 253 new decisions for Christ since I've been pastor here. That's 200. There's going to be 253 people in heaven because of your blessing, because the Lord's moving through this body. That's big stuff. And we can't function without faithful giving. All right. First point I want to make. If Jesus is Lord of my stuff, then giving is a natural response. Giving is a natural response. When we encounter the Lord, it's just natural that we want to spread that around. We want to pass that on. The wise men in Matthew 2, this is not Christmas time, but it's relative to us today. On coming to the house, Matthew chapter 2, on coming to the house, the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. So these wise men, they're seeking the Lord, and they come face to face with him, and their immediate response is worship and giving. That should be our immediate response: to worship Him and to give. And I'm not talking about just financially. If you hadn't read the book of Malachi, it's an interesting book. I encourage you to do so. I'm just going to paraphrase. Chapter 1, God had told the priests, the Jewish priests, He had told them to bring these offerings of their best of their flocks and so forth, and bring these offerings unto the Lord. And they did that for a little while, and then they began to bring their crippled and diseased animals to sacrifice to God. That's not a good thing. What's the Lord's kind of convicting my heart? It's like, do we bring the culls? Are we giving God our culls? It's certainly not a good thing. Read Acts. That's really not a good thing. God's asking for the first fruit, and we're going to get more into that. So let's move on. So again, just asking yourself who wins in the Savior versus stuff battle in your life. Secondly, if Jesus is Lord of my stuff, then we realize it was never our stuff in the first place. I love that word stuff, don't you? That's just a cool word. Stuff. So, Exodus 23, here's what it says. It says, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Now, bring is different than give. Bring indicates we are returning something that's yours in the first place. We're just bringing what is already yours. We're bringing a portion of that to present to you. To give indicates, this is mine, and because of the goodness in my heart, I'm going to give you a little bit, God. That's give. To bring is to present what is already His, to present an offering to Him. Bring the best of your first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. James says it this way, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. It doesn't say every good and perfect gift is ours because we went to school and we got a good job and we did all these things. And I mean, did you know that God can humble us like that? When we think we got the tiger by the tail, man, God can humble us so quick. With the economy, with medical stuff. I mean, everything we have is a good and perfect gift from Him. Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. There's a difference between being giving or bringing. There's a difference between being an owner or being a steward. To be a steward is the careful and responsible management of something. We are being stewards. We are managing what God has given us, what belongs to God in the first place. So again, the question, who wins in the Savior versus stuff battle in our life? Number three, if Jesus is Lord of my stuff, then we realize it's really all about our heart. Tithing isn't fundamentally about money. Did you know that God doesn't need your money? He doesn't. He doesn't need your money. A few years ago, back when I was even goofier than I am now, I preached a sermon on stewardship. And you remember the janitorial key thing? You know, you got the little thing on your belt, and it's got the retractable thing. You know, you pull it out, and you unlock the door, and then you let go. Everybody remember that? Well, I got one of those, and I had a jacket on, and I attached it in my shirt, and I had somebody walk through like they were needing some money, and I pulled a 20 out and handed it to them, and then I let go. I was much more creative in those days. And God doesn't want our money. He wants our heart. But here's the problem. Our money is attached to our heart. Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. I always thought Cain kind of got a raw deal. I always kind of thought, man, Cain, they both brought sacrifices. What's the deal, God? But read it carefully. Genesis 4, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. And I can just, it's almost like he kind of went, well, this plant's kind of dying anyway. Let's pull that one up and bring it. That's what, it doesn't say that specifically, but brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel, he brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. I believe that Cain gave God the culls, and Abel gave God the first fruit. It didn't work out well for Cain. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. God doesn't want our wallet. He wants our heart. But our heart's attached to the wallet. I started to do this today, but I didn't want anybody like freaking out. I started to ask everybody, most of us carry some sort of wallet or a European carry-all or something. It's a joke. Some of you guys that carry European carry-alls, I've got to talk to you. But anyway, So I started to get everybody to take out their wallet and pass it to the person beside you, just to let them hold it. And I, even telling you I was thinking about doing that, I can feel the anxiety level going up in the room. This is my stuff. It's my stuff. It's not your stuff. It's not God's stuff. It's my stuff. Who wins in the Savior versus stuff battle in our life? Fourthly, if Jesus is Lord of my stuff, we give because God is a giver and we are called to be like Him. At the very essence, the very core of who God is love and being a giver. Listen to this. I was telling the first service, how many of you remember Rainbow Man? John 3:16, Rainbow Guy. Billy, you're not the only two old enough to remember Rainbow Guy. But he would go to ball games and he would strategically sit where the camera, when they kicked the field goal or whatever, the camera would be aiming at him. And he had this big rainbow wig and he had a shirt that said John 3:16 on it. And we know this passage, probably the most well-known passage in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave. Because God loves us, He's the giver. And He didn't give the coals. This struck me. This struck me yesterday. Jesus is God's tithe to us. Are you hearing me, church? Jesus is God's tithe to us. He gave us His best because He loves us. We want to be like Jesus, we got to be givers. And I'm not just talking about finances. As I was prayed over the kids today, it's like praying for a friend for them, but you be a friend. Students, you be a friend. Church, love on His behalf. Who wins in the Savior versus stuff battle in our life? It's interesting in Malachi that we read in chapter 1 where they're bringing the coals to God as an offering. In chapter 3, it says this. These are the words of God. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Did you know that those four words are never spoken again in Scripture? It's the only time God says, test me in this. God's given us permission to trust Him and test Him in His faithfulness to us financially. Trust me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I don't say if you give a whole bunch, send a whole bunch to the church, you're going to hit the lottery and you're never going to have to be worried about your finances again. I don't believe that's scriptural. But I believe what is scriptural is when we are faithful to God, He is faithful to us. And He blesses us, not just, and I'm not talking about just financially, but just, man, it is, you've heard the old saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That, man, it is. It's harder to receive. It's a blessing. It's easy to give when you're seeing that. And I hope I don't embarrass them, but Domingo and Margaret, I mean, when we went out to your house, and we've talked about what's happened in their lives, we went out a few weeks ago and was able to, it was a joy to see y'all enjoying your new home and Margaret to see you enjoying your washer and dryer. Is Domingo helping you at all? No, I didn't think so. That, because of y'all's faithfulness, we provided them a new home. That's a blessing. Not just to them, but for me, I don't know if it blessed you, but it blesses me. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse Test me in this, says the Lord God, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And here's my, I'm going to challenge you today. I don't always challenge you like this, but I'm going to challenge you in this way. I challenge you, no matter where you are in your givings, and you may, many of you are already there, and you might want to ask the Lord if he wants you to increase this. But I challenge you to tithe for 1 month, 10%. And somebody, a common question by to pastors is that net or gross? You ever get that, Larry? Jim? And a pastor friend of mine one time said he was asked that question, and he said, just pick one. Just pick one. I challenge you to tithe 10% for 1 month. This is not just blind talk. I'm telling you, if you have trouble paying your bills that month, you come and see me, and we're going to take care of that. And I just challenge you to trust. God himself said, test me. Test me in this. See if I am not faithful. See if I will not pour out my abundance on you. And I'm not preaching this passage because we need money. God wants our heart. And unfortunately, this is tied to this. I'll invite the praise team to come up as we pray. Father, I pray for forgiveness for myself when stuff rises above you in my life. Lord, I confess that sometimes I see stuff as my stuff. Forgive me, oh God. In so many ways, you have been faithful to me and to us. And you have given us your very best in Jesus Christ. Your tithe to us is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You didn't give us your coals. May we not do that to you. Father, convict our hearts. I pray financial blessing on those right here in this room and those at home listening. Father, not so that we can build our bank account, but so that we might see and that you might demonstrate your blessing to us, your faithfulness to us, and that we might be about your business and your kingdom. There'll be new homes built because of the faithfulness of the people of this church. We love you, we trust you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we close, the prayer rail is open if you'd like to come and pray. At the end of the service, again, I will be out in the foyer. Also, we will have some people up front to pray for you. There's been a lot of illness going around, a lot of stuff going around, medical stuff. Maybe even there's some fears with starting kids to school and all that stuff. Please don't be afraid to come and ask for prayer for that. There will be people here at the altar to lead you in that. And if you don't know Jesus, he knows you and he loves you. Don't leave this place today without saying yes to him as we rise, as we close.
Best thoughts by
said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God loves us. He just wants to bless others through us. Go and tell someone that is good news. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.